Chapter 18. I didn't have long to wait. The door opened behind me and Kincaid emerged. He didn't say a word to me, just got into a rented sedan and left. Ortega came next. A car swung in off the street and he opened the passenger door. He paused and looked back at me.
I have a measure of respect for your principles and skills, Dresden, but this situation is of your own making, and I cannot allow it to continue. I'm sorry.
I watched him get in the car, and I didn't offer him any reply. Hell, he hadn't said a word that was untrue. Ortega had a genuine axe to grind, and people, well, fellow monsters, to protect. And thus far, the Dresden versus Vampires scoreboard read a whole bunch to zero. If a vampire had done that to the White Council, I wonder if we would have reacted with as much reason and calm. The taillights of Ortega's car hadn't yet gotten out of sight when Thomas emerged from the tavern and swaggered casually over to me. Thomas was a shade under 6 feet tall, which put him at half a head shorter than me. He was better looking, though, and despite my earlier comments about his outfit, he was one of those men who made anything look good. The fishnet shirt he wore cast patterns of shadow over the pale skin beneath it, adding to the lines of muscle on his stomach. My stomach had muscles, but not so many that you could see them rippling. I'd have looked pathetic in a shirt like that.
That was simple enough, Thomas said.
He drew a pair of black leather driving gloves from his jacket pocket and started tugging them on.
Though I take it this duel isn't the only game in town at the moment.
Why would you say that? I asked.
I've had a pro hitter following me ever since I landed yesterday. The itch between my shoulder blades got annoying.
I glanced around. Is he here now? Thomas's eyes glittered.
No, I introduced him to my sisters.
The White Court were the most human of the vampires, and in some ways the weakest. They fed on psychic energies, on pure life force rather than on blood. Most often they would seduce those they fed upon, drawing life from them through physical contact during the act. If a couple of Thomas's sisters had met the hired gun tailing Thomas, the assassin probably wasn't going to be a problem to anyone, ever. My eye twitched.
The gunman was probably Ortega's, I said. He hired some goons to take out people I knew if I didn't agree to this duel.
That explains it, then, Thomas said. Ortega really doesn't like me much. Must be the unsavory company I've kept in the past.
Gee, thanks. How the hell did you end up his second?
It's my father's idea of a joke, Thomas said. Ortega asked him to be his second. Show of solidarity between the red and white courts. Instead, Daddy Dearest found the most annoying and insulting member of the family he possibly could to stand in.
You, I said.
C'est moi, Thomas confirmed with a little bow. One would almost think Father was trying to get me killed.
I felt one side of my mouth tug up into a smile.
Nice father figure, him and Bill Cosby.
How's Justine? Thomas grimaced.
She's in Aruba, is how she is, which is where I was until one of Papa Wraith's goons dragged me back up here.
What did you two decide on for the duel?
Thomas shook his head. Can't tell you. Shiro is supposed to do that. I mean, technically, I'm at war with you.
I grimaced and stared after Ortega's vanished car.
Yeah.
Thomas was quiet for a second, then said,
He means to kill you.
I know.
He's dangerous, Harry. Smart. My father is afraid of him.
I could like him, I said. It's sort of refreshing to have someone trying to kill me right to my face, instead of throwing me a bunch of curveballs and shooting me in the back. It's almost nice to have a fair fight.
Sure, theoretically.
Theoretically?
Thomas shrugged.
Ortega's been alive for about 600 years. It isn't something you do by playing nice.
From what I've heard, the Archive will object to any monkey business.
It's only cheating if it gets caught. I frowned at him and said, Are you saying someone is planning to avoid getting caught?
Thomas put his hands in his jacket pockets. I'm not saying anything.
I wouldn't mind seeing you kick his ass, but I'm sure as hell not going to do something that would attract attention to me.
You intend to participate without being involved. That's clever.
Thomas rolled his eyes. I won't throw a banana peel under you, but don't expect any help from me either. I'm just making sure it's a fair fight, and then I'm back at my beach house.
He drew car keys from his pocket and headed for the parking lot.
Good luck.
Thomas, I said to his back, thanks for the heads up.
He paused.
I asked, why do it?
The vampire glanced over his shoulder at me and smiled.
Life would be unbearably dull if we had answers to all our questions.
He walked out to a white sports car and slipped into it.
A second later, loud, screaming metal music started from the car's stereo. The engine roared, and Thomas drove off.
I checked my watch. 10 more minutes until Susan arrived. Shiro emerged from McAnally's and put on his glasses. Once he spotted me, he walked over and took the glasses off again.